Hi, this is Paul Chappell here at Lancaster Baptist Church, and I want to thank you again for tuning in to the podcast today. I'm excited about the messages God has been placing on my heart through my study time, and it's a blessing to share these biblical truths with you on a regular basis. Whether we're studying about life's journey or whether we're learning more about God's power, we know that our God is a great God, and He's concerned about our direction being right. I hope today's message will be a blessing in setting that direction and encouraging your spiritual walk.
What an honor and a delight to be here. And I'm looking forward to this day because this is not a fundraiser. This is a moment for God's miracle power. Remember this, unsaved people can have fundraisers. All kinds of social clubs, all kinds of entities go out and have the mission to raise money. But they don't do it the way God's people do it. God's people have the privilege of seeing what God can do through them. Turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of Ephesians. I love your theme, boy, by His Spirit, by His Spirit. Amen. How many of you would love to see what God could do through you? Hold your hand up, would you? And not what you can do through you, but what God can do through you. You know, if we just stand up here and try to get you emotionally going and, boy, force something, I don't know that that's wrong, but that's not God's way. God wants to do something through me in this service. God wants to do something through you by His Spirit. The Apostle Paul has been going through incredible trials, and the Ephesian church is concerned about those trials. And Paul's about to write to them and say, listen, these trials are for the furtherance of the gospel. But God never brings a trial in a life by accident. It's always for the furtherance of something on God's heart. But Paul writes to the church and makes such an incredible statement. Listen to what he says, Ephesians chapter 3, starting at verse 13. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. God's got a divine purpose in it. I meet all the time people who come up to me and say, Brother Gibbs, I'm just kind of going through stuff I never, ever imagined. Well, let me tell you, you and I may not imagine it, but God sure did. And God's in control of all of it. He said, I faint not. He said, which is for your glory. For this cause I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you. Now, if you have a marker, circle the word you. Now, this is real. Somebody says, what does you mean? It means you. This is God speaking to you, God speaking to me. This is not Paul talking. This is God talking through His servant Paul. And He said that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. Now remember, nothing ever happens in the outer man that's of glory to God until it first happens in the inner man. And God said, I want you strengthened with might. Now underscore that little word might there. It's this incredible word. You find it in Colossians 1:10, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power. It's the word dynamis. It's the word for dynamite. Do you understand the day you got saved, your sins were forgiven, number one. How many of you have asked the Lord to save you? Well, man, your sins are forgiven. Heaven becomes your home, but the very Spirit of God also comes to reside in you. And you know what God says? I want to put some dynamite in there. Have you ever seen dynamite go off? Boy, we were traveling one time and we came to this construction project in West Virginia. Now, I don't want to offend the West Virginians here, but they're different. They really are. Man, they say almost heaven. That's because they do stuff that puts them there regularly. Okay. We're sitting there, and the guy says, we're going to let some dynamite go off. Boy, that dynamite went off. My car got pelted with stones the size of baseballs. And the guy said, oops, a little too much dynamite, huh? Man, another time by our cattle feedlots in Ohio, they came around and they said at a certain time, we're going to set off a bunch of dynamite because we're cutting a pass through some hills for a new road. And we just want to tell everybody because it's going to be a really loud boom. And so my dad says, well, just make sure everybody knows 12 noon they're going to set it off. Man, I was in those feedlots. That dynamite went off. It knocked the cows down. Now, I used it to my advantage. I told those cows, you don't listen to me, I'll do that again. All right? Boy, you know what God says? I want something magnificently for His glory of power in you. You know what's a sad commentary? Most Christians do the best they can do. But they've rarely seen what the dynamite can do. What the dynamis of God, the power of God. And God wants it in every one of our lives. Boy, He said that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with the fullness of God. Now, Pastor just quoted this great verse in the video that you saw. Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask. But now, isn't that amazing? What are you asking for? God wants to do more. Exceedingly abundantly more. Amen. But hold on, it goes further. Unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. When's the last time you said, God, bust the corners out of my mind? God, I want the mind of Christ. I want to be above and beyond what I could ask or think. Well, you say, Brother Gibbs, this is good because, man, that's Pastor. Oh, that's him. Boy, you're right. That is him. That's Brother Furso. That's him. That's Brother Christensen. That's Brother Schmidt. Well, you're right. That's to be you and me. This is written to every believer. God doesn't play favorites. You say, yeah, but I'm nobody special. None of us are anybody special. You know what we all are? Sinners saved by grace. Now, maybe you're here and you're perfect. Bless your heart. By the way, I can promise you you're not perfect because you had that thought. Okay. Now, how many of you are amazed at how God puts up with you? Hold your hand up. Yeah. Well, and He says, I want to do exceedingly abundantly above anything you can ask or think. But don't stop there. Most of the time when this verse is quoted, and I've done it 1,000 times, wants to do exceedingly abundantly above anything we can ask or think. And it's a true statement. But God says, I want to tell you how I want to do that. The latter part of that verse is the how. I want to do exceedingly abundantly above anything that you can ask or think, according to the power that worketh, say out loud the next two words, in us. Whoa. God says, here's what I want to do, but I want to do it by the power in you. Now, when God wants to do something, and this is very elementary, you know it, you read the scriptures, when God wants to do something, He can do it any one of three ways. He's God. Number one, He can do it Himself. Come time to create the worlds, He just did it. Man, God's God. If He wants to do something Himself, He can just do it. But then you read in scripture a second way. God can do something Himself, or God can use an angel. Boy, when it came time to announce the coming of the Christ child, God sent an angel. The shepherds abiding in the field by night, man, the angels broke out. Now, God could have used a man to announce it, but He didn't. He used angels. And you read through Scripture, man, there's many accounts. Man, when God did the Ten Commandments, man, his finger wrote them. God did it himself. And often he used angels. But do you know who God used pervasively more than those two put together many times over? God can do it himself, he can do angels, or God can use a person. And most of the time, as you read your scriptures, God used a person. Now, he could have done it himself. Or God could just send a whole flock of angels down here and say, put that auditorium together in the next 30 seconds. But that's not his plan. He wants to use you. But he doesn't want you. He wants his power through you. That's why by his Spirit is so important. How many of you would love to see what God could do through you? Hold your hand up. Oh, that's my hand. Would you write three things down? There's three absolute Bible principles. Now, God says exceedingly abundantly above anything you ask or think. You know, if the Lord tarries his coming, I believe this ministry is in its infancy. Infancy. You say, why do you say that? Look at all this. Just joys my soul. But my God's in the business of exceedingly abundantly above anything you can ask or think. But God says, I want to do it by the power of my Spirit through you. It's not the best we can do. It's the best God can do. Boy, be careful. I believe in working hard. I believe in being diligent. But unsaved people can work hard and be diligent. But they can't ever see God's power through them. Three keys to having that power. Here's number one. Number one. You got to ask God to use you with no reservations. You say, what do you mean by that? You got to give God a blank check. Have you ever done that in your life? You say, how blank a check? Blank check. Oh, yeah, but what if he fills it in some way I don't want? You will never know God's power till you hand God a blank check. God, what do you want? Here it is. Blank check. Now, maybe that's easy for you. But I kind of got an idea of what I'd like God to do with me. And I sort of got some stuff in my own mind. And you know what? You do too. But if you want to know exceedingly abundantly above anything you could ask or think, you got to give God a blank check. Turn to the book of Isaiah, if you will. Very famous passage of Scripture, Isaiah chapter 6. And I love this passage of Scripture because outside of the book of Revelation, this is one of the few real-time glimpses we get into heaven. I mean, Isaiah has been ushered up into the heavenly of heavenlies, and man, he's seeing the angels and the seraphim, everybody adoring God and the passion of it. And the Lord asks this question. God says, I got something to do. Verse 8, and I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. Now, whoa, Isaiah, I want to help you here. He has no idea where. He has no idea what. God just said, who will go and do this for me? You can tell there was no lawyer with Isaiah. Because a lawyer would have said, that's too open-ended. A lawyer would have said, let's get a few details here. Let's kind of find out what God's thinking. But with a blank check, you know what he said? Here am I. Send me. Have you ever given God a blank check in your life? I don't mean just in finances, a blank check in everything. Or do you just want to use God for what you want? You want to know God's power exceedingly abundantly above anything you could ever ask or think? God says, here's key one. You got to give me that blank check. Here am I. Send me. You say, well, what if he wants me to do something or go somewhere I don't want to go? You're never going to know his dynamite power. You see, God never said, I'll give you all this power and y'all just play with it and do whatever you want. His power is for the advancement of his will. Not my will, the Savior said, thy will be done. And God's looking for somebody to say, here it is, God, you fill it in. I wonder how many tonight are going to say, God, what number do you want down here? I want to know and see you in my life exceedingly, abundantly, above anything you could ask or think. If the number you fill in is one that I've encouraged you to, we're both in trouble. Because I don't know what God wants there. But I know God wants something. And God's looking for somebody who says, here am I. Send me. Do you know, in my Bible reading, I do not know how many times, hundreds of times, I read that passage. And it never dawned on me he had no idea what or where. No idea. It was wide open. Here I am. Send me. By the way, that's the only real way to live. I wonder if you can say, man, I'm on God's mission right now. Because I've told God he's got a blank check in my life. Here am I. Send me. It's the first key to exceedingly, abundantly, above anything you could ask or think, by his Spirit through you and me. Write the second key down. Number two, you got to give up your own plans. Now, we're all full of us. You're full of you. I'm full of me. I love Brother Chapel. But you know the greatest battle in his life is himself. That's the greatest battle in every Christian's life. Brother Carey's full of himself. Brother Christopher. We're all full of us. And us's got plans and ideas. Now, I don't know if you've ever done this. God, I think you're going to like this because I like it. And you know what? If you're not careful, you will want God's power to be selfishly used for you and what your plans are. God, I'd really like to give you a lot of money, and along the way, I'd like you to make me a gajillionaire. Well, maybe that is God's plan. Or is that just your plan? Have you given God the blank check? And have you put your plans on the altar? We sing this great song, you know, it is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid. We sing this great hymn of invitation. I surrender. What's the next word? All. I sometimes think we ought to sing it, I've surrendered as much as I intend to surrender. You know what God's looking for? For your plans to be set aside. A dear pastor friend of mine wanted God's will in his life, wanted God's power, and was dealing with these very passages I'm dealing with this morning. Now, his church has an unusual thing. Every morning at 5 a.m., they have a men's prayer meeting. And the first time I was invited to it, I thought, boy, who comes at 5 a.m.? They call it Alive at 5. And I told the pastor, you ought to rename it Alive at 5, Dead at 6. Because man, getting up that early to go to pray. And I thought, man, there'll be a wonderful, cherished handful of guys. There are 150 men there praying at 5 a.m. And man, I'm listening to them pray. And man, I'm listening to this preacher pray, God, use me today. God, you got a blank check. I want to use your power. I want above and beyond anything I could ask or think. God, I give you the blank check. Well, he had a very busy day charted out. Had to get to the airport. He's on his way to the airport. Got a tight schedule. And he's going down the road. And God spoke to him and said, see that guy on the bench over there? I want you to go witness to him. He said, that never happened to me ever in my life. By the way, when you give God a blank check, get ready for God to start using you like you can't imagine. He said, God, number one, I got no time for this. Number two, it's not on my schedule today. And God, there's no parking around here. This is heavy traffic time. God said, I thought you wanted what I want. He said, I did it with a bad spirit. He said, I literally told God, okay. How many of y'all ever had your kids say, okay? Can you imagine? We're his children and we say it to him. He said, I had a hard time finding a place to park multiple blocks away. And I'm kind of telling God, this is stupid. Time I get there, he won't even be on the bench. He walks down two blocks, the guy's still sitting there. The pastor walks up, sits down, and before he says a word, the man turns to him and says, I've been waiting for you. Now this preacher said, that gave me the heebie-jeebies right there. He said, never in my life has anybody ever said anything like that. You know, I told this story up in Pasco, Washington, and the wonderful pastor up there, Dr. Paisley, said, I've had that said to me when God told me to go to a given house. And he said, I knocked on the door, and they opened it up, and he said, before I could even tell them who I was, they said, we've been waiting for you. Wow. This preacher said, really? You've been waiting for me? He said, yep. He said, I've been sitting on this bench, and I told God. He said, the gods I served in India, he said, all terrorized me. And he said, I was all worried about them getting me. And he said, it's been horrible. And he said, I sat on this bench and I said, God, if there's a real God up there who loves me, I want you to send somebody to come tell me about him right now. I've been waiting for you. He said, with tears flowing down his cheeks, he said, I took him through the Romans Road. It wasn't 15 minutes. Oh, he said, that's above anything you could ask or think. Exactly. God's looking for you to be that person. But you got to park your plans. He said, you see, that guy on the bench wasn't in my game plan that day. But he was in God's game plan. And I want God's game plan. What's God's game plan for you today? What's God's game plan for you tonight? What's God's game plan for you tomorrow morning? He's got one. Wow. Number one, you got to give God a blank check. Number two, you got to park your plans. And if that's easy for you, then pray for me because I'm a schemer. I'm full of plans. And I get excited about them. And I think, again, because I'm excited, God's probably excited. You know what? I'm excited about this project here because your pastor has sought the face of the Lord. And man, when God's, then it's worth getting excited about. But there's a third key. Number one, you got to give God a blank check. Number two, and Dad, you as the leader of the house, remember, you're the leader. And ladies, nothing can shoot down God's plan quicker than a hesitant wife. Man, all of a sudden, God's leading and you say, oh, I don't know about this. Boy, all of a sudden, one of the things I love is my precious wife. I talked to her during the Sunday school break for 1 minute. And I said, honey, be praying. And she said, oh, I am. She said, whatever God leads you. She said, I'm not for it. She said, I'm 1,000% for it. She said, and ladies, that should be you. Because, boy, you want God's blessing in your family, you got to get God's plan in your family. Give them the blank check. You got to park your own plans. Write the third thing down, and boy, this is huge. You have got to say something that God wants you to say. And you say, what do you mean? Well, you give them the blank check. We park our plans because we want his plans. But then there's a third thing. God says, and I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 17, and we're done. You know this passage. You may not know it by number, but it's the story, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed. And I've preached it. I've heard it preached. Boy, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, man, you got the power by God's grace to move mountains. And by the way, this church is facing a mega mountain range of things that need to be done for God. And I've always said, man, if you got the faith of the grain of mustard seed, that's all you need. And you can move mountains. And yet that's not quite what the passage says. It says something beyond that. Let's read the story together. An incredibly distressed father came unto him. Verse 14. And when they were come to the multitude, they came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son. Boy, if you're a dad, this man's son was suffering with such derangement. Have mercy on my son, for he is lunatic and sore vexed, for oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. Can you imagine this dad having to get wet and get burned to get his boy to keep saving him? And now he's come to the Savior. And I brought him to thy disciples. Now, wait a minute. These are Jesus's most intimate followers. And they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. The Lord did this miracle work. Now the disciples are sitting there saying, how did he do this stuff, and we couldn't? And God gives them the answer. Then Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. And I always say, boy, you got faith as a grain of mustard seed. That's the key. And sometimes we even hand out little mustard seeds encased in thing to bring the story back to mind. But look carefully at what Jesus said. If ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, and here come the key words I want you to underline, ye shall say unto this mountain. You know what? What have you been saying to you? When's the last time you said it? God, I want to give a miracle amount. Now, can I tell you what a lot of people have said? Because I'm guilty. Boy, God, economy is in a lot of trouble, and this is pretty uncertain times. And, man, right now we're kind of stretched. And you know what? You're not saying the right thing. You have already talked yourself out of God's miracle power. What's going on around you has captured the voice of your heart. Where's the voice of your heart? And what would it take for the voice of your heart, which God hears? I won't hear it, but God hears every bit of it. Ye shall say. You say, yeah, but boy, that puts your faith at risk. That's where all miracle power is. Putting our faith at risk because we trust and believe in God's miracle power working through us. Ye shall say. I was down sick for several weeks, and thank you for your prayers. I had pneumonia severely, and thank you for praying for me. I believe I'm here because the doctor said no way, and so I'm just thankful for your prayers. But my wife and I, because we had this time together, had extra time to pray. And so several times, I mean, we prayed for several hours together for the ministry, for Pastor's family, for this miracle Sunday we prayed. And I told my wife, I said, you know, boy, we need to do something. But I said, it is. We're just loaded with other problems and difficulties. And my wife said, you're saying all the wrong stuff. I said, no, we are. She said, no. She said, I heard you preach a message on ye shall say. And she said, you're not talking the right way. And I thought, boy, of all the messages she could remember, she had to remember that one. And she preached it back to me. She said, that's not how we need to be talking. She said, we need to be telling God, that mountain's, it's doomed. And God, by your power, we're going to have something exceedingly abundantly above anything we can ask or think. Be careful. The voice in you can take you out of God's power that quick. And God says, you want my miracle power? Ye shall say unto this mountain. I close by telling you a tragic story with a great lesson in it. When you ask people, what's the greatest maritime disaster that America's ever had any involvement in? Most people would say the sinking of the Titanic. Boy, indeed, it was a horrible disaster. 1912, 1,517 people perished. And man, you've seen all kinds of things about the Titanic, celebrating anniversary dates of it. The ship that couldn't sink, sank. And most people would say the greatest maritime disaster would have to be the Titanic, and that's wrong. The greatest maritime disaster happened right at the very close of the Civil War, and it happened on the Mississippi River. It was the age of the great paddle wheel boats, the steamers that plied the Mississippi. There were thousands of them. And there was a boat called the Sultana that regularly made a trip all the way from St. Louis down to New Orleans and would go back and forth. And the war is just over. I mean, on April the 9th, Lee signed the surrender at Appomattox. Tragically, on April the 16th, President Lincoln was slain. Now we're on April the 24th. And here we are with this boat working its way up the Mississippi. And they were letting soldiers, northern soldiers, out of southern prison camps. Now, those prison camps were horrible. Two-thirds of the men who went in never came out alive. And here's the third who survived, and they're going to go home. The boat came into Vicksburg, and it was a boat that was designed to carry 376 passengers. But they put 2,500 people on it. All who wanted to get home, they'd survived. The boat successfully made its way from Vicksburg to Memphis. But when it got to Memphis, even a few more got on, so now they have 2,500 on it. They discovered a leak in the boiler. These were steam-driven ships. And the engineers said, we need to repair the boiler. It's not safe. And the captain said, no, it'll be fine. Just put a patch on it. And so patch it they did. And they left out hoping for the best. Interestingly, they told all the passengers, "We've just patched the boiler. We think it'll hold." Everybody understood a patch was not the way to do it. These boilers have enormous pressure in them. They got just north of Memphis, 6 or 7 miles, and the boiler blew. People who were on deck everywhere were thrown 200 plus feet just from the explosion. Metal flying off of these boilers, they estimate, killed about 500 to 700 people. And then burning char, the boat burned just hellaciously. And in this wreck, over 2,000 people perished in the matter of less than 2 hours. The worst disaster. You know what's sad? When they did the review, they said they should have never trusted the patch. Everybody knows the patch is not the way to do it. Everybody understands how dangerous the patch is. But they decided to trust what they should have never put their trust in. And because of that, in mere moments, over 2,000 people stepped into eternity, the worst maritime disaster in our nation's history. What are you trusting in right now? How about what are you trusting in to get to heaven? Boy, the Bible says there's only one name given among men whereby you must be saved, and it's Jesus Christ. Man, I'm on airplanes all the time, and it staggers me what people tell me they're trusting in. They're trying to patch it, hoping it'll work. Boy, if you're here, my friend, and you've not asked Jesus to save you, I plead with you, the day you die, it's going to blow. For all eternity, you're going to find you made the wrong decision. Trust my Savior. Well, I've done that, Brother Gibbs. Well, what are you trusting in right now then? Your best effort? That's just a patch. God said, I got some dynamite for you. Exceedingly, abundantly, above anything you could ever ask or think, through the Spirit that worketh in us. God wants you to be a miracle person. Your pastor is indeed, in my opinion, a great miracle man of God. I know numbers of men on this church staff that are great miracle people, but God wants every one of us to be a miracle person. Lord, you got a blank check. Here it is. You just tell me. Here am I. Send me. Number two, God, I'm going to park my plants. Maybe you'll like my plants, maybe you won't, but I'm going to park them because I want your plans for my life. And God, I'm going to make sure I say the right thing. Ye shall say unto this mountain. Oh, make sure that voice in you is echoing the confidence of God. I have to believe that if I asked most of you to come up to this platform, you'd say, oh yeah, God's a miracle worker. God can do exceedingly abundantly. And you'd say that publicly, but are you saying it in your heart right now? And are you saying it where you are going to put your dependence on that? This is a miracle Sunday. And you say, well, man, I need miracles in my family. We all do. Man, I need miracles of other things in my career. We all do. You know what? Start right now. Give God the blank check. Park your plans. God, I want your plans. And then start saying, ye shall say. And get ready. By promise of my God, exceedingly, abundantly, above anything you could ever ask or think, through his Spirit in us. It's not you and me who's going to do it. It's his power in us. Get ready. it's time for you to be the miracle person. Bow your head. Father, thank you. Oh, forgive me for all the times I've done my best, but it wasn't your miracle power. And God, may we never forget, unsaved people can do their best. That's not what we want to do. We want, by your Spirit that worketh in us exceedingly abundantly above anything we could ask or think. And God, may it not just be for today. May that be our heart every day, in our families, in our marriages, in our careers, in everything. Not the best we can do, but your power through us. God, I don't know what all the needs are here. I just know that there's not a need any person has that can stand against your power beyond anything we could ask or think. God, my prayer is that my heart would be saying the right thing. No one's going to do what's right on the outside if their heart isn't saying the right thing on the inside. Help us, Father.
Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. I hope that your heart was drawn closer to God as a result of our time together today. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Lancaster Baptist Church, let me encourage you to visit lancasterbaptist.org. You'll see a tremendous amount of material there that will help you in your Christian life. And then if you'd like resources to help you on a daily basis, visit strivingtogether.com. There you'll find our newest resource, A Daily Word, 366 devotions, one a day, just to help you begin every morning with God. That's at strivingtogether.com. We'll look forward to seeing you next time on the podcast from Lancaster Baptist Church.